Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, second class, 30 June 2024, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 says so far in our exegesis, in fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. So we noted a couple of points. Point one was the Apostle Paul understands the problem. He understands the problem. Two, he knows that the old sin nature resides in his human body, and that's the problem. Sin nature with its lust patterns, sin nature which tempts, sends temptations up to your soul again and again and again to try to get you to make a bad decision. Now you have a guardian of your soul. The guardian of your soul is your free will, your volition. You're the product of your own decisions. You can't blame anybody else. It's you. You from your own free will, you from your own volition, say yes to the temptations of the sin nature. Nobody else's fault. So Paul understands the problem, and he knows that the sin nature resides in his human body, and that's the problem. Point three, he knows that there is absolutely nothing intrinsically good in the sin nature. Now, all of you have this problem. You all have this problem. We all have the sin nature inside of us. And it's constantly sending up temptation after temptation after temptation to get you to sin. All you, if you say yes, well, you just turned your soul over to the sin nature. And you've entered into Satan's cosmic system. And now you're not living the spiritual life. Now you're living out of fellowship with God. Now you're in darkness, not light. So he knows that there is absolutely nothing intrinsically good in this sin nature. And we all have the sin nature still in our body. You got to know that you got a problem. No problem is solved until the problem is understood. The problem is inside of each one of us. The problem in each one of us is the sin nature. You have to know that the sin nature is still residing in your human body. And you have to know that he's still sending temptations up to the guardian of your soul, your free will, your volition. And you have to know that the sin nature has an area of weakness that produces personal sin, an area of strength that produces human good, dead works, and lust patterns. So, point four, you have to know that there is a great inner conflict, a war going on inside of each one of us. The sin nature versus God the Holy Spirit. You have to know that. The Apostle Paul knows that. You got to know that there's a problem. And he explains that and summarizes it in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So I say, walk or live your life by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war. They're at war with each other, so that you do not do what you want. So you have to know that there is a war going on inside of you. Every single one of us, there's a war going on between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. 5. The soul of the believer is the great battleground. The soul of the believer is the great battleground. Who is going to control your soul? Is it going to be the sin nature? Or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit? But the soul of the believer is the great battleground. And you, from your free will, you choose. You choose. You can make bad decisions. You can say yes to the temptations of the sin nature, and you turn your soul over to the sin nature. Or you can make good decisions and say no to the temptations from the sin nature and stay filled with the Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is controlling your soul. And what's the production of the sin nature? The fruit of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. So when you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, that's what's being produced in you and through you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. So you got a war going on inside of each one of us. We all have this war. And the more you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you then have not only the power of the filling of the Spirit, but the power of the Word of God in your heart. And that motivates you that when the temptations come from the sin nature, you just say, no way, Jose. You didn't know that your sin nature was Mexican, did you? Well, now, if you're Mexican, sin nature's probably Norwegian, too, I tell you. So, no way. I'm not going there. You know, I've made bad decisions. Got out of fellowship with God. Got into Satan's cosmic system. And God had to spank me. He spanked me with warning discipline and intensive discipline. And finally I said, what am I doing? What the hell am I doing? Why do I keep making these bad decisions? Why do I keep saying yes to these temptations from the sin nature? So I rebound, get back in fellowship with God, and the next time those temptations come, I just, no, I'm not going there. I've been there and done that. That's over. No. I love my Lord way, way too much. He's the most important love of my life, Jesus Christ. After all He did for me, He's now the one, I'm under His authority. He's given me His mandates and His word. And I say yes to Him and His mandates and live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The best of the best. Personal love for God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind. God has the best of the best for you. His plan is the best plan. So the soul of the believer is the great battleground. Six, the soul is the key. The soul is the key to the solution of the problem of the sin nature. The soul is the key to the solution of the problem of the sin nature. Seven, the solution is living the spiritual life. God has given us this unique spiritual life for the church age, and He's given us something that never occurred before. Universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this spiritual life. The spiritual life is the supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, has given us a mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate, grow up. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate for every one of you. Grow up. Are you growing up? Or are you just walking in darkness of the cosmic system? Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Well, if you keep walking there, you're going to go through suffering, but it's punitive suffering. Suffering for discipline. Until you wake up. Wake up. And live the spiritual life. So the solution is living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God. Eight, the divine power of the filling of the Spirit must replace the human energy of the flesh, the sin nature. The divine power of the filling of the Spirit must replace the human energy of the flesh of the sin nature. Nine, the human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, cannot and does not please God and does not glorify God. The human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, does not please God, cannot please God, does not glorify God. Now we're in Romans chapter 7. In the congregation, my study, I'm in Romans chapter 8. So turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 8. Romans 8, 8. Therefore, those who are in the flesh, those who are controlled by the sin nature, cannot please God. Impossible to please God. Therefore, those who are controlled by the sin nature in the flesh cannot please God. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. The absolute truth of God's Word that you learn and believe and is in your heart. It's the Word of God that you consistently and faithfully learn and believe. That gives you spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. And then that's what the word grow up in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up what? Not physical growth. Grow up spiritually. And how do you grow up spiritually? Well, I look around, you all have a good you do great at eating physical food. And you eat physical food and you grow up too, or grow out, one or the other. But you need spiritual food for your soul. The Word of God is spiritual food. And as you feed on the spiritual food of the Word of God, that gives you spiritual momentum. That results in spiritual growth. And you grow up from being a spiritual baby to spiritual adolescence to spiritual maturity. And that's when you are glorifying God to the maximum. You glorify God in your life. No matter what's going on in your life, you glorify God. In times of prosperity, you glorify God. In times of adversity and suffering, you glorify God. Point 10. So the solution to the problem of the sin nature that is in our body, the solution to the problem of the sin nature in our body is living the unique spiritual life of the church age and attaining spiritual maturity. Having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age, to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, to have personal love for God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, where Jesus Christ is the most important love of your life. And then the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart, and you enjoy him moment by moment, day by day. And these are the great motivating virtues that motivate impersonal love for all mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's an unconditional love. Unconditional love for all. 11. Growing up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ can only be accomplished under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18. So growing up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ can only be accomplished under the ministry and the power of God the Holy Spirit. So our verse says so far, in fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. And then he goes on and says, for to will is present with me. This is the conjunction gar plus the, now you've heard articular participle many times. Guess what we have? We have an articular infinitive. We're going to have articular infinitive used twice. And all you English majors, why, just hold on. I know you need a seatbelt. You want to do push-ups, or you can go ahead, shout out. Did you fart? Sound like he farted. If you're going to shout, shout! Oh, I just hit puberty. See that? My wife farted. Nah, you haven't heard anything. You ought to hear her snore. Well, I tell you, she's a humdinger when it comes to snoring. Woke me up and I thought, what the hell? Somebody's in our house. And I'm looking around and then it was a chainsaw in bed with me. And I'd never heard her snore like that, but she has been doing so much. She has had so much on her plate, I wasn't surprised. And I just laugh. I went hunting so many times with my dad and my uncle, and they would drink beer all the way up to the hunting site. They had a camper, And there was Dad and Uncle Dick. Dad would sleep up above, Uncle Dick down below, and then I slept on another bed. And after drinking beer all the way up there, they get in bed, and both of them snoring, both of them. One, and going in and out and in and out. And my uncle, when he went out, he'd snore in and then whistle on the way out. And I laughed. It just was the funniest thing ever. Well, I was doing the same thing the other night. Oh, Deb was over there. I go, oh, I'm hunting with Uncle Dick again and my dad. Well, there's no extra charge for that. That's a, we have here an articular infinitive of thello, plus the present middle indicative of parekomai, plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun ego. Now, this time, gar is an explanatory gar translated for, and then we have thello. T-H-E-L long O. Thello. And first of all, thello expresses a wish or a desire. And it you can translate it to wish or to desire or to want. To wish, to desire, to want. Point two. Secondly, thello expresses the will of purpose and resolve, and means to will or to resolve or to purpose. And this is how thello is used in our verse. Three, now thello is an articular infinitive and is equivalent to our English gerund. Hold on, I know that's almost too much for your heart to take. That is an English gerund. It's a lot of you didn't even know that was a word. That is, the infinitive functions exactly as a noun. Point four. In our verse, the articular infinitive of thello functions as a noun, the subject of the finite verb, and the finite verb is parakemai. So here this gerund, thello, articular infinitive, is a noun, the subject of the finite verb parakemai. Five, so it is correctly translated, for the will, the purpose, the resolve is present in me. So there's the subject, the gerund, the will, the purpose, the resolve is present in me. Parakemai is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Our verse, Romans 7:18, and then again in Romans 7:21. Literally, parakemai means to be at hand, to be ready. Figuratively, parakemai means to be present. And that's how it's used here. The dative singular of the personal pronoun ego, present in me. So, our verse now says, in fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me. That is, in my sin nature. For the will, the purpose, the resolve is present in me. Now it goes on, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now this is a King James here. They just dropped the ball on this one. But we'll straighten it out, not to worry. We have the postpositive conjunction de plus the second articular infinitive of kader gadzomai, a second gerund, two gerunds in this verse. That was too much for me. I had to stop and take a break. Study and found two gerunds in my... Okay, it's not that exciting for you. That's all right. The accusative singular of kalos with the definite article and the objective negative u. Now, in the original autographs, there is no verb to find. See, it says, but King James, I don't know. Anybody here have a King James Bible? Raise your hand. King, you have a, oh, good for you. Good girl. Okay. The King James, there you have, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, there is no verb to find, and there is no noun good. So, but how to perform that which is good, good's not in the original, and find is not in the original. Okay, so here we go. Post-positive conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast, correctly translated but. It sets up a contrast between, one, what you want to do, what you will to do, with what you actually do. That's the first contrast. What you will to do with what you actually do. Second, a contrast between resolve and purpose with failure to accomplish that resolve and purpose. So it sets up a contrast, secondly, between your resolve and purpose with the failure to accomplish that resolve and purpose. And then third, it sets up a contrast between wanting to do what is right and honorable with not knowing how to accomplish what is right and honorable. Wanting to do what is right and honorable with not knowing how to accomplish what is right and honorable. Now we have caught air, God's am I. Here's the second gerund. Caught air, God's am I. K-A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Caught ergodzomai. It's the same verb we had back in verse 17. It means to achieve, to accomplish, to do, to perform. Once again, the articular infinitive is the equivalent of our English gerund, and therefore it functions as a noun. And once again, it functions as the subject of the finite verb, and here the finite verb again, is parakemai. It's been left out by ellipsis, but it must be supplied. And this time with the objective negative u. And then the adjective, we don't have agathos, that's the word for good. We don't have agathos, we have kalos. And kalos is not the Greek word for good. K-A-L-O-S, kalos. Kalos means noble, honorable, virtuous, praiseworthy. Kalos describes the result of living the unique spiritual life of the church age and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The objective negative u slams the door. So, corrected translation, but the accomplishment of that which is honorable and virtuous absolutely is not present in me. All right, so now verse 18, we have it. In fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. For the will, the resolve, the purpose is present in me, but the accomplishment of that which is honorable, virtuous, absolutely is not present. See that? Isn't this great? I mean, Paul is nailing this. He's nailed it. If Tim was there, he'd have told Paul, you nailed it, Paul. Well, thank you, Tim. In fact, I know that absolutely nothing intrinsically good resides in me, that is, in my sin nature. For the will, the resolve, the purpose is present in me, but the accomplishment of that which is honorable and virtuous absolutely is not present in me. So, one, it is one thing to have the desire and the resolve to please God, but it's totally another thing to actually accomplish that objective. It is one thing to have the desire and the resolve to please God, but it is totally another thing to actually accomplish that objective. Two, Paul is describing a believer who wants to please God. Paul is describing a believer who wants to please God, but he is stymied and frustrated because of ignorance of the Word of God. He is stymied and frustrated because of ignorance of the Word of God. Three, without knowing and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God, the believer is frustrated in fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. Without knowing and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God, the believer is frustrated in fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. Four, the resolve is present in the believer. The resolve is present in the believer, but the execution of the resolve demands consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The resolve is present in the believer, but the execution of the resolve demands consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God, getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Five, you can't please God until you know how to please God. You can't please God until you know how to please God. Six, the plan of God does not stop for the believer at salvation. The plan of God does not stop for the believer at salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you believe in Jesus Christ. You have eternal security. You're going to live with God forever in heaven. Yes, that's a done deal. That's absolutely true. The plan of God, though, does not stop for the believer at salvation, faith in Christ. Salvation is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a great spiritual race. You see, at salvation, the gun goes off. The gun goes off, and you see, look, you're really enjoying the Olympic trials, all the Olympic trials on TV? Fantastic. Track and field. I was all over high hurdles, intermediate hurdles. Fantastic. Well, when you believe in Christ, God puts you in a marathon. The plan of God doesn't stop at the moment of salvation. Now, there's a marathon. And that's described in I got a passage that's one of my favorite passages, but run out of time, and so you come back next Sunday and I'll get you all running. You're all going to be running next Sunday. After all, everybody's preparing, trying to make the Olympic team and go to the Olympics in Paris. Well, we're going to be studying a passage that deals with the Olympic game. With our heads bowed. Father, we're always amazed at your grace to us and all the blessings you give to us, sir. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. We ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge us, that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.